In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. So, who do you think should take the collection today? Did you take the collection? I think you already took the collection once. Yes, okay, so somebody else who didn't take the collection. Lenny, did you take the collection? No? Okay. And another one? An older one to help Lenny? Who do you think should be an older one to help? Did you take the collection so far? No? Yes or no? No? Okay, so then Lenny and Sophia will take the collection today. Today's gospel reading is another parable. Did you pay attention to it? It is a beautiful parable. About who? Who was in the parable?
It was a dad, and he had two sons, and one son said, "How much will you pay me when you die?" And then he took the money with him, and he spent it. And then he had to feed the pigs, and then he came home and said, "For the father."
You know it all. I can see that. So yeah, it was about a father who had two sons, and the younger son said, "You know, give me the part of property that falls unto me." He didn't wait for his father to die and to inherit the property. He wanted it now. Give it to me now. That was very disrespectful, by the way, to ask his father to give his inheritance now before the father got a chance to get old and to die. So, he got the part of property that fell to him, and then what did he do? What did he do? He went where?
To a faraway country,
and what did he do in that faraway country? Was he a good guy there? Did he work really hard with the money that the father gave him?
Yeah.
But what did he do?
He spent it all.
And then what happened in the country? A great famine came. Do you know what a famine is? When people don't have what to eat. It happened that people didn't have what to eat because probably there was a drought or something. There was a big famine. People didn't have what to eat. So he became how?
Poor.
Poor and hungry. And he remembered that in his father's house, even the servants have more than enough bread, never mind the children of his father. So what did he decide to do? The gospel says that he came to his senses. He became himself again. And what did he decide to do? What did he decide to do? To stay in that country for 5 more years? But what?
To go to his father's house.
To go back to his father's house. Very good. Very good, Elizabeth. And did he go back?
Yes.
He went back, and what did he do?
And then he said at his father, because he wasn't worth it to be called his son. And then the father said to bring the best robe and the best shoe and to put a ring on his hand.
And what else did the father ask the servants to do?
To kill the fatted calf.
To kill the fatted calf and to rejoice because his son returned home safe and sound. Now, I want to tell you today that obviously you are still very young. You're young. You're still young. And obviously, you didn't have the chance to make some big mistakes in life yet. Huge mistakes. I'm talking about huge mistakes, not small stuff. Okay? Big mistakes. But it might happen. It might happen in your life that the devil will fool you around, as the devil fooled around the son in this parable, to go away and to spend everything that the father gave him That also could happen to you. But I want to ask you, who do you think the Father stands for? Because this is a parable. God. The Father stands for God. Who are his children?
Jesus.
Yes, but in the parable, who do you think are the who are the two sons? Because this is a parable, an invented story.
The one that got fooled by the devil.
But who are they? Who are they? More specifically, who are the two sons?
People.
Exactly. Everybody. All of us. All of us are the children of God. And some of us, in fact, all of us, will be fooled by the devil one day to make some big mistakes. And as I was telling you, it might happen in your life to make some big mistakes. When you make a big mistake, ask for forgiveness. That's what the son did. Now, I want to tell you that sometimes it might happen that the people around you might refuse to forgive you even if you ask for forgiveness. Do you copy? You might make some big mistakes and even your parents might refuse to forgive you for some big mistakes. I've seen it. Because, you know, even your parents, even if they love you so much, they're still humans. And if you make a big mistake, they might find it hard to forgive you. Your friends might find it hard to forgive you. But I want you to keep in mind that if you ask God for forgiveness, He will forgive you of whatever big mistake you happen to make. There is nothing that God can't forgive. God is not human. God is God. As human beings, no matter how much we love somebody, sometimes we find it hard to forgive because we've been hurt. That's why people find it hard to forgive. That's why sometimes even parents find it hard to forgive their children. That's why even friends sometimes, you know, find it hard to forgive us. But God is not human. God is divine. God is something else. That's what holy means. Different. God is God. And God is love and beyond anything we know about love. And if we repent, if we turn around and ask for forgiveness, if we believe in God and in His love, and we just turn around and go towards Him and ask Him, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean this. I didn't want to do this. Please forgive me. I'm not worthy to be your child anymore, but receive me as one of your servants. What did the Father do in today's gospel? Did He say anything? He didn't. No questions asked. He gave a big hug to his son. He gave him a ring. The ring is the symbol of you have power again in my house. Everybody will respect your ring. The ring was the symbol of power, of authority. He gave him the best robe and the best shoes. And then, without saying a word to his son, he told everybody in the house, let us rejoice because my son came back. That's how God feels when we go back to Him and ask for forgiveness. There is nothing. There is nothing that we can do that would offend God. There is nothing that God would not forgive. Please keep that in mind. Because I know the devil tries to fool around all of us. And the devil will try to fool you around to make some big mistakes. And the devil will try to fool you around the second time to make you believe that now you're a big sinner, Too late for you even to repent. Too late for you even to ask for forgiveness of God, because look what you did. Don't stay there. When you fall, get up. Like that son in today's gospel, he arose, the gospel says. He got up. He didn't stay down there. If we fall on the ice, what do we do? Do we stay down there? Oh, look what I did, I fell on the ice.
No. You get up.
You get up.
Try to skate again.
Try to skate again. You get up. Why do you try to skate again? Because why do you try to skate again? Exactly. What's the point of standing down? And because you trust in yourself that you could do better. Trust yourself that you could do better, and trust God that He loves and can forgive anything. There is nothing that God can't forgive.
If you stay on the ice, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse, it's not going to get better.
If you cry on the ice, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse, and you know, if you cry on the ice, your tears might get frozen and you'll get stuck to the ice. Don't get stuck to the ice. Get up. Ask for forgiveness. Put your trust in God and in His love. And He will forgive you and receive you back into His arms, into His house, because God is love. Thank you very much. Christ is among us.
He is and always shall be.
You are faithful. After working for about a month as a chaplain in a correctional center, I was giving thanks and glory to God for giving me the chance to minister to people with a broken heart. Because I had a chance before that to be a priest for about 8 years. But I've never had a chance to see and to witness such profound confessions like the confessions of the inmates in the prison cells. It is so uplifting to see somebody who comes to you and puts his heart on the table and says, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of this life. I want to do something because I can't live like this anymore. Help me, Lord. Help me, chaplain. Help me to do something about my life because I can't live like this anymore. Now, the reality is that most of us, by the grace of God, are not there. Most of us who are in church have been blessed with a peaceful Christian life. Most of us have been blessed with normal parents and with a normal life. And it is harder for us to identify our brokenness, because it is not as obvious. It is not as painful as the brokenness of some people who had a much tougher, a much harder life. Nevertheless, there are things that we have to repent of. Because if we don't search ourselves, if we don't search our hearts, we keep on going through life without even thinking where we are going, how we are doing. Are we really in communion with God? Are we really living the life that God wants us to live? Sometimes we have to hit bottom in order to be projected and to go up. And sometimes if you don't hit that bottom, you just keep on floating without really looking up and trying to find the fullness of life. That's a danger for all of us who have been blessed with a normal life. But I want to challenge all of us today. I want to challenge all of us today and to ask ourselves where we are in our life. Where am I? Am I really in communion with God? Is my life really in communion with God? Am I really in my Father's house? And if I am in my Father's house, am I there with a loving heart or with a judgmental heart? Like the heart of the elder son. Or am I in a faraway country, not even realizing that I am in a faraway country, feeding the pigs of my passions, feeding my uncleanness and the uncleanness of the world? That's what the pigs stand for uncleanness. And wanting to be fed with what the pigs are eating. Let us search ourselves and our hearts before we hit bottom. Because the only goal God has for us is to make us one with Him. And if we don't know to offer ourselves and our whole life and to become one with Him, He will allow circumstances in our life to turn us around, to hit bottom and to look up. Let us offer ourselves before He allows situations that would turn us around. I would ask you now to think for 10, 15 seconds, and I'll stop my sermon for about 10, 15 seconds, to search our hearts now before Great Lent on this Sunday, in preparation of Great Lent, to search our hearts and to try to find out where we really are and what are the things that are keeping us from being like Him. Let us look at His icon. Let us look at His light and let His light shine upon us to see ourselves exactly as we are, to see our stains. And as we could see in today's gospel, repentance is a very dynamic process. The prodigal son had the strength to turn around, to come back, and to confess, to tell his father, "I'm sorry. This is what I've done. This is what stained me. This is what made me unworthy to be your son any longer." Let us do the same thing. Let us go to the Lord and confess to Him. That's why we have the mystery of confession. To give us the chance to be reestablished, to take responsibility for who we are and where our life is, and to offer it to the Lord so that God could work on us and heal us of our sicknesses and make us who He intended us to be from the beginning. His sons and daughters, the beautiful children of God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.